Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, an entire prabandha, or a short story told in 3 to 5 verses, that whole prabandha can make a suggestion. And we have one example here. This is a 4-verse passage. First verse. Sahant is in Prakrit. Sahanti gandam binavai jananam nava pasua saala higao nate na dohor na paapasango ajeva una va u o tuha vinavinti. Sahante gandamapi navai jananam navaprasuta sakalahi gavaha natena doho napayak prasanga arye vadvas tvam vigapayanti. The story here the young cowherd girls have sent the granddaughter of the nurse of the mother-in-law to speak to the mother-in-law. Okay, so they're afraid to approach the elder, the mother-in-law, directly. They're supposed to be milking the cows for her, their mother-in-law, just like girls go to the house of their husband when they're married, and their mother-in-law is in charge of them. So I don't know which girl's house we're in here, but rather than approach her directly, they're afraid. They send this young girl who's related to her. She's the granddaughter of the nurse employed by the mother-in-law. So the granddaughter speaks these words, sent to say them by the cowherd girls. These cows who just have given birth, navaprasuta, are not showing tolerance even for the smell of human beings. In other words, I don't know if you have experience trying to milk cows. They're temperamental. Sometimes they don't want to let you milk them, and if they're in a bad mood, they can kick you and fuss around. So these ones who just gave birth, they can't even tolerate the smell of a human being coming nearby. So, it's impossible to milk them. So there's no milking being done, so no question of there being any milk as a result. My dear respectable lady, the young granddaughter of the nurse is saying, the young girls are sending this message with me. Okay, so that's the first verse. We don't get a suggestion just from the one verse or any word in the verse. It's just a story. But this is only the first verse of the story. That's only one conversation. Hearing that, that elderly mother-in-law, she answers them in 2 verses. Kare mi kim natini dattiyaye vae sarin lambiya vinnavehi tuhana savam mahagodanadi donom janao visuham chadukam. That's the first verse. So duspa Oh, ah, mada sarba ga o putta vidure kimahankaremi vilo anado tuha nondonosa sudupa o havi sa appa aho. Oh, that means, Sanskrit for that is, Karomi kim naptri datriya rajeshwarim labdva vigyapaya. What can I do, my dear granddaughter? Go to the queen of Raja and tell her about this. Yushmakam sarvam mama godanadi. Godanadi danam. Jana api sukam chadukam. O queen of Vrindavan, the mother Yashoda, tell her that all of our property, including our cows and other animals, they actually belong to you. And everybody in Vrindavan belongs to you. And our happiness and distress belongs to you. So you solve the problem. So the mother-in-law has the idea, let Mother Yashoda figure out what to do. The cows aren't getting milk. This is a big deal. In the cowherd village, if the cows don't get milk, it's like the lights going on Wall Street. You know, everything stops. The whole business stops if the cows don't give milk. Everything, their whole economy is dependent on that. So, thus it addressed by the elderly mother-in-law, the young granddaughter of the nurse of the mother-in-law, goes to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda responds in the final verse. Evam koku taye bonida gada tada vayasarim utavadi samattam uttena taye kumarena uttam gosampava ho mamana pu hoi. This is actually not spoken by Mother Yashoda. It's describing what Mother Yashoda did. Evam kalu taya vanita gataham. Thus, told by the mother-in-law, I went to the queen of Raja, uktavati samastam, and I told her everything that you told me to tell her. Uktena taya kumaren uktam, and she passed the information on to her son, Krishna. And Krishna said, gosampadoho mamaku naku bhavati. It's not my job in the morning to milk the cows. That's not my job. Okay, what's going on here? That's the words, four-verse story. Is there something suggested by it? Can you dig out a 20 here? The words are pretty straightforward. Nothing very exalted, fancy poetry here. I mean, as far as the fanciness of the words. Yes? Well, actually, they don't want him to come. They want to meet him in secret in the forest. They're arranging a meeting. Not at their house, out in the forest. But this is like a secret message that they're getting to him, and he's giving a secret answer. That's all being suggested. Actually, it is quite complicated series of suggestions here, but that's basically what's suggested, is that there's a secret agenda here. Well, you got to know, you know, gopis do things. They can't openly, you know, send an invitation to Krishna. Yeah, they don't have encrypted email or something. They have to tell someone to tell something, somebody else something else, and somehow indirectly get the message to Krishna. This message is the cows aren't letting us milk them. And that's some secret message to Krishna. Okay, we'll meet in such and such a place. And Krishna's sending back the answer. It's not my business to milk the cows. That's he's saying, okay, I'll meet you there. Here's further analysis by Sri Kavi Karnapur. There are other suggestions being, beside that, there's some alankars being suggested here, beside that secret plot. There's four different conversations here going on. Because the girls talk to the granddaughter of the nurse, and the granddaughter of the nurse goes to the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law goes to Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda talks to Krishna, and Krishna responds. And they're describing these four verses. The agenda of the girls is to arrange a meeting with Krishna, but they make up this story about the cows not letting them milk them. This is called Apanuti. This is an example of Apanuti Alankar. As far as I can see, that's expressed directly by the words, that Alankar, where they're hiding their real intention. Apanuti, hiding your intentions. Apaknuti. It's an Alankar, where you speak in such a way that you don't say what you mean, but someone who knows the secret agenda understands what you're saying. Now, and then there's an alankar called Uttara. You know, where questions are asked and answers are given, a series of questions and answers. It's also a figure, an ornament of poetry. You know the kind of poem. Who's the so-and-so, so-and-so? Who's the so-and-so, so-and-so? A series of questions and answers back and forth. So that's going on here also. So here we also have expression of Uttara Alankar. Answer questions and answers. Yes?
Matsyavatar Prabhu showed us a verse, I remember it's from, it's Krishna knocking on the door of Radharani.
Yes.
She says, "Who's there?" He says, "Hari." Oh, she says, "Oh, a lion?" He says, "No, this." She says, "No, that." He said, "Like, who's there?" He says, and then he gives different names, and then she mistakes yes. for something.
Yeah. Like, there's something like that in Nectar of Devotion, too, I think.
I think that's.
You got it from Nectar of Devotion?
Yeah. But Yavali.
So but Yavali,
is that Uttara Alankar?
That's Uttara Alankar, yeah. It doesn't have to be involve punning, but it's some vivid kind of questions and answers. If it also has plays on words, then that's another Alankar. That's Slesha, double entendre. It's two different things going on at the same time. I actually didn't translate one line. What can the old lady says? What can I do? But go to Mother Yashoda and tell her that the cows aren't being milked. But just by your glance, the impossible situation where the cows can't get milked will be transformed, and they'll give their milk if Krishna just glances at them. I forgot to translate that line. There is called Atishayokti, exaggerated or exalted description about Krishna. He's so wonderful that if he just looks at the cows, they'll start giving milk. That's another Alankar, Atishayokti, extreme glorification. That's not spoken by the girls, that's spoken by the mother-in-law.
The girls, they ask the nurse.
The girls ask the granddaughter of the nurse. Okay, the granddaughter of the nurse goes speaks to the mother-in-law because she's connected to the mother-in-law through the nurse. The girls themselves were afraid to go to the mother-in-law. Okay. Then she sends the girl to Mother Yashoda. That granddaughter goes to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda hears from her and talks to Krishna, and Krishna answers.
Who says, what can I do if...
That's the mother-in-law.
What can I do,
she speaks two verses.
Okay, what can I do if Krishna looks at them?
Yeah, You know, what can I do? Go to Mother Yashoda. If she gets her son to just look at the cows, the milk will come. And then Krishna refuses. Yes?
What is the name of this Alankara when Krishna is so superior that he just by his glance he can make cows give milk? What is the name of this Alankara?
Atishaya.
Atishaya.
Super excellence. It has a technical definition. I don't remember exactly. Actually, there's different kinds of Atishaya. One of them is when... Anyway, there are four different varieties of Atishaya. I don't remember them. We'll get to them when we get to chapter 8. I suppose these are all being suggested rather than explicitly stated. And also, there's a vastu implied here. Shababhakti, I haven't gotten into it yet. Okay? It's still coming. I think. Where? Oh, yeah, okay. Sudhu Pradoha Mama Sarvagava. Well, it's a description about, you know, cow life. You know, it's the nature show out in the cow herds pasture, watching how the cows, all the cows are just refusing to give milk. So this is an example of Svabhavokti, natural description of nature. Svabhavokti Alankar. And then also there's a vastu, there's a part of the storyline, fact that is suggested by saying that just by glancing the cows will give milk. That means for Krishna to arrange for the milk to come is not going to be at all hard for him. It's not a hard job for him. That is the suggested idea. There's another alankar called Nishchaya. I don't remember what it means, sorry. Nishchaya is, you know, making up your mind, firm determination. So when Krishna says, the Prabhata Doha, the morning milking, isn't done by me. So don't ask me to do something. It's not my job. That's Nishchaya alankar. I could look up the definition, but anyway, it's another alankar being suggested. You can't just take the literal meaning of the word. You got to know the technical definition of that alankar. I had my index in the computer, but I don't have it here with me. Okay, now there's a whole idea that's suggested by that Nishchaya Alankar. Don't you know that I don't do the milking in the morning? And the answer is, okay, let's have the milking at night. In other words, okay, meeting's not for the morning, but for the night. There's a secret message being sent. That's being suggested by the Alankar. The Alankar of such a big deal that Krishna is making a big point over the fact, I don't milk in the morning. Why is he saying that? Not because he's angry, that he wants to get the message across. The meeting's in the evening. But these suggestions are not being made by the individual sentences or words. They're being made by the whole story given in the four verses. The whole context of the story. That's Prabandha Mula Vyanjana. Now, you could also make further categories. You could say, okay, if you can have a suggestion made by a four-verse passage, how about the whole play? And plays can be various lengths. You can have a one-act play. You can have a ten-act play. A whole play can suggest something, especially a rasa, just like in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natakam. There's not that much of a storyline. There's no great, you know, endeavor to save the heroine or to kill the demon before he kills everybody else or to do anything in particular. The whole drama of the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka is how do you relieve the devotees of their distress of separation? And the answer is you got to remind them about their beloved. You know, it's a very simple thing, and the whole drama is built around that. It's a very subtle drama. There's no demons being killed or heroines being rescued. It's just rescuing the devotees by reminding them about Lord Chaitanya. King Pratibharuja was feeling separation, and Kavi Kornapur wrought the play to relieve him, and that's the theme of the play. Well, that's the whole message of the play. But there's also dvani of the rasa of separation. It's being suggested by the whole tone of the play. So you could say that the entire drama or an entire Mahakavya, a whole long poem of 100 verses or more, could be suggesting a rasa or even a dvani or an alankar. But Kavi Kornapur rejects that further classification because then you get too many categories. Then you can end up with an infinite number of categories. So he cuts it short at that, at Prabandha. He doesn't consider larger divisions. Wait a minute. Can I get up? I'll come back in a second. Up with those bigger categories. Kavi Kornapur would rather not do it. Oh, I forgot. So there's some more alankars here. I stopped too soon. There's a suggestion, it's a fairly obvious one, that when the girls send the message to the mother-in-law that the cows can't even stand the smell of human beings, that means is that the milk, we're not going to get any milk today. That's suggested. It's a vastu that's suggested. Well, yeah. Where? In the same verse?
Yeah.
Okay, but still, you hear this. Okay, it suggests something that is also explicitly said. So maybe it's a superfluous suggestion. We already have enough suggestions. It already counts as excellent poetry. So, there's another alankar called Hetu Alankar, where there's an imagined logic where something seems to be the reason for another thing. So the reason is given that they just gave birth to calves and therefore they're in bad mood. That's why they can't stand the smell of human beings, and that's why we're not going to get any milk. Yes? Yes, sorry. Well, the statement in the verse that they just gave birth. When a cow just gives birth, it takes a time getting accustomed to the calf. It may be in a bad mood. It may be depressed or angry after giving birth, the cow. And it may not want to share the milk with the human beings, or it may not want to give any milk at all, according to its mood. So that's the reason, and that's an alankar. When you give a reason for something, and from that you're supposed to surmise the result. Yes. You say the reason, and then the reader is supposed to draw the connection with the result. That's hetu alankar.
So sometimes there is, in verses there is, it's not explicitly said, but it logically connects itself.
Well, that would be hetu alankar.
Hetu alankar, like
where the reader is supposed to fill in the gaps of the logic.
For example, so I'm just going to this verse of the Vayu Purana, this Gauranga Chandahodaya, and it says this first verse of predicting Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the Vayu Purana. So I'm going to that, and the first verse says there's lots of vocatives, O Bhakta, O one who is compassionate. And then you read the commentary, like they made the suggestion, okay, he's a devotee, therefore he's compassionate. So they make the logical connection.
Yes, yes.
So, all you who is a devotee, all you is compassionate, all you who is like this. So the logical connection is, you're a devotee, therefore you are
yes.
merciful,
well,
and therefore you will tell me what I'm asking
yes.
you.
Yes,
so these are like,
that's there's two different kinds of logical alankars. One is called Kavya Anuman, where the author does the connecting. The author fills in the logic. But it may be an absurd logic. It may just be an imaginary logic, pseudo-logic, that doesn't work in the real world. That's what you gave an example of. Mahetu Alankar is where the pieces are missing and the reader is supposed to fill in the logic. You're just given the reason and you're supposed to get the result, or vice versa.
But
that's Hetu Alankar.
The author doesn't mention... I mean, the Tika mentions...
Oh, the Tika. Okay, then it's Hetu Alankar. Okay. Now, so what's being suggested here is that... anyway, the cow, we're going to have a problem getting the milk. And then after that, when the mother-in-law says that without Krishna's help, we're not going to get any milk... She says that. She doesn't go out and say, go get Krishna. She's suggesting it by saying, without Krishna's help, without Krishna, we're not going to get any milk. She says that Mother Yashoda is the proprietor. She's the queen of Vraja. Our cows are her cows. Our property is her property. Therefore, go to her. But she also says, without Krishna, we're not going to get the milk. So the hidden reason why they should go to Mother Yashoda is to get Krishna. But that's to get Krishna to come over here and help us milk our cows. She doesn't understand the real agenda of the gopis. Also, there's further suggestion, Natena Doha, there's not going to be any milking because the cows aren't letting us. What's being suggested by that is that, okay, we're not going to have anything to do this evening. There won't be any milk to make into yogurt in the afternoon. So don't be angry with us if we just wander off somewhere in the afternoon. Because it's not our fault that we don't have any work to do. Just by saying there isn't going to be any milking, sorry, and no milk, and it means, well, you know, who's going to, you know, we can't make yogurt, sorry. I guess it's a day off. Tuhana Sabham. And, you know, the mother-in-law is telling the granddaughter of the nurse, you should tell Mother Yashoda, remind her that everything here in Vraja belongs to her. So there's a Vinaya Mahima. There's an exalted variety of humility there, or of expressing yourself humbly. Which means that Mother Yashoda should be addressed so respectfully, and then certainly, if you do that, she'll send Krishna, which is the mother-in-law's agenda. That's also being suggested. Okay. Then Kavi Kornapur says that he's not going to make new divisions, further categories for larger pieces of a composition or a whole play. Because then we'll end up with unlimited, infinite categories. Now, in a Prabandha, it's Arta-bhu, Arta-shakti-bhu. Okay? It's not... The suggestion is not being made by individual particular words. It's being made by the meaning. And in the case of Arta-shakti-bhu, we have 12 subdivisions. So this would mean that adds... We could dig up examples of the 11 other kinds of vastu suggesting vastu and so on, and being done by the natural use of the words, the author's special use of the language, the character's special use of the language, 12 different varieties. There could be examples of all 12. What's our count up to now? We're only counting Prabandha as one variety. We're not counting the 12 sub-varieties. No, we are. Yeah, we are, because we took the number 35 and added 12 to it to get 47. So there are 12 subdivisions of this Prabandha Dhwani. So we have 47 kinds of Dhwani so far. 12. Now, there's even more elements that can do suggesting, smaller elements. The fragments of a word, parts of a word, and other elements can also generate rasa. Now, by rasa, we don't mean only rasa, but all the kinds of things that are generated in such a way that you cannot analyze the sequence of suggestions, where the sequence is unanalyzable. It's just going by too fast and too complicated. Especially in rasa, but also sometimes vastu and alankar suggestions can also be unanalyzable because of their complexity and subtlety. So in such asamlaksha krama vyanjana, the source of the suggestion can also be part of a word. Because the reason why only for asamlaksha vyanjana is because the kind of suggestion that just part of a word can make is very subtle. When we look at words in a sentence, we think of the meaning of the words, but we don't consciously think of the meaning of the parts of the words. That part is unconscious. We don't, unless we're analyzing grammatically, but in normal reception of language, we don't think about the meaning of the parts of the words. It's subconscious. Oh, this is third person singular, this is present tense, this is passive voice. We don't think about that. So it's subconscious, and therefore whatever suggestion is being made is very subtle. It's on the subconscious level. And therefore it's asamlaksha. We can't trace out, analyze step by step, because it's all going on subconsciously. Yes.
Sometimes a play of words, maybe I don't have a good example now.
Oh, if you're getting more closer.
Yeah. Prabhupada would say, Well, this is a way of intoning the voice. Ignorance.
Yes. That, at the end of the chapter, we'll be introduced to when words can have multiple meanings. Which meaning applies can be determined by special factors. And one of them is kaku, or a special intonation. So the intonation of how you speak a word can make a suggestion.
Like you meant ignorance means like...
That you could know, but you don't choose to know.
Yeah. Ignorance, yeah, means like you ignore things.
Yeah.
The way in English words we have like the contrariness of things, like sometimes indifferent.
Okay, but that's not, I mean, ignore is not... A normal is not really part of the word ignorance. That's a play.
Yeah,
that's a play on words.
It's a play on words, but like indifference. Like
so what it is? That's an alankar, the shlesha alankar generating the dvani. But yeah. We'll see the examples of it, the actual parts of the words. And what are the parts of the words? They'll be listed here. Actually, it's not only parts of the words. It's padamsha adya. Parts of the word and etc. Now the etc. are two other items. Part of the word or the individual phonemes, the individual sounds can make suggestions. Or the rachana. Now what is rachana? It means composition, but here it means style. Now how is style analyzed in the Kavya Shastra? Actually quite simply. Although some of the early theories of poetry, theoreticians, thought that style was the essence, the soul of poetry. Well, riti is another word for it. But rachana is being used here. The style of composition. And there were theoreticians in earlier centuries that said that style is the essence, the soul of poetry. It's the most important thing. Of course, they were superficial poets to say that. To ignore rasa and think that style is the essence. But the way style is analyzed in the theory throughout all the centuries is very simple. There's basically four kinds of style, or three and maybe a fourth one. And they're identified according to what kind of samasas are used. And also what kind of letters are preferred. But I'm sorry, there's a difference between riti and rachana. I think I'm getting confused here. Anyway, rachana, compositional style, is according to, yeah, the styles involve using particular letters and combinations of letters and also using particular kinds of samasas. One style uses very long samasas. And then styles are named according to different parts of the country, the Gauda and the something else. So I think in the Gauda style, they use very long samasas. And in the second style, they use just average-sized samasas. And in the third style, they avoid samasas. Those are three different styles. The use of a particular style can make a suggestion. So we have three different elements. Part of a word, or the smallest part of a word, namely the letter, the phoneme, or the style of composition. And specifically, what kind of samasas you might be using. These all can be making suggestions. And when it says rasanjaka, they suggest rasa, but in his own vritti, Kavi Karnapur says, by rasa, I don't just mean rasa, I mean all the special vyanjanas that are asamlaksha. It can also be vastu and alankar. It can also be bhava and all these other things that are all unanalyzable. The chain, the sequence is not analyzable. So, we have these three additional he's going to make a subtotal here again. We have, these are three different kinds of dvani suggested by part of a word, by individual sounds, and by style, that adds three more to 47, and then also Prabandhi. But we had Prabandha already. Anyway, he adds four more to make 51. Eka Panchashat. I see. Because these are all Asam Lakshakrama. The 47 kinds of dwani we counted before were all Sam Lakshakrama. Now, in the category of Asam Lakshakrama, of unanalyzable chains of dwani, very complex and subtle sequences of dwanis, there are four categories. The ones created by those three, by part of word, by individual sound, and by style, and then also by Prabandha. But it's the dwani of a rasa or something else that's unanalyzable. So that we're counting it separately. We get four more to the list. 47 plus 4 is 51. 47 kinds of analyzable dwani, four kinds of unanalyzable dwani. 51. Okay, I'll give one example of where a part of a word. I won't yet give examples because he has to tell us what parts of the words can we consider as creators of dwani. Well, he gives a whole list. Prakriti pratyaya kalo vartamana dhirevaya sambandho vachanam chapi purusha vyatyayo picha taditam chopasargascha nipatak sarvanamacha karma bhutadikaranam avyayi bhava etacha tataya tata purvanipatascha padamsha parikirtita. These are all the different kinds of part of a word. The prakriti, what's prakriti? The base, verb or noun base. Well, it's also, no, prakriti is either the dhatu or the noun base. And pratyaya is the vibhakti. Kala is the time that's expressed in verbs, the tense. And he says this is present or and so on. Sambandha is the kind of relationship expressed, especially by the shashti. There are different kinds of relationships. Part and whole, owner and owned. These are different relationships, the shashti can relation, and they can make suggestions. And also, vachanam, the ekavacham, the number, single, dual, plural, can make a suggestion. And that's considered part of the word because it's expressed by the inflection. It's actually a separate component of the word. Only some words have it. There are words, uninflected words, that don't have number. And then purusha vyatyaya, that means switching around of the person, first person, third person. When you would expect the first person and third person or vice versa used instead, that's purusha vyatyaya, is substituting what's technically the wrong person. But you have some rule is allowing you to do it. That's a substitute of an abnormal person instead of the regular one. First, second, third person. Well, plural is number. That's vachanam. But this is first, second, or third person. I, you, we, he. Just like someone knocks on the door and asks, are you there? And you're there. And you say, he's not there. He's not here. You're talking, but you're using third person for some reason. That's purusha vyatyaya. The tadita suffix. Purusha is a person. First person, I. Second person, you. Third person, he. But when you switch, when you use the wrong person, that can make a special suggestion. Switching, yeah. Usually it's abnormal switching. Just like you can use the dative case when you really mean the accusative. You can use a fourth case instead of the second. Sometimes, some verses do that. That's a vibhakti vyatyaya. It's done a lot in the Vedas, but it's done sometimes in the Bhagavatam. It's technically speaking wrong, but you have some poetic license to do it. No, but in Sanskrit terminology, it's Pratama is he.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the tadita suffix in a word could be making a suggestion. Not the whole word, just the tadita suffix. Or the upasarga of a verb could be making a suggestion. Sometimes you can add a upasarga without changing much the meaning, changing the meaning of the word in any noticeable way, but that prefix might be making a suggestion in the poetry. Why do you say sankirtita instead of just kirtita? It's suggesting something. Whatever, you know, depends on what the poet's trying to say. And then nipata are undeclined, small undeclined words like conjunctions and interjections. Usually they're just considered fillers in a sentence, because that's a whole word. But here we have them in the list of parts of words. Some words have nipatas added to them, like kinchidapi, or kaschid, kopi, kaschid, kaschana. The chit, the api, and the chana are three different suffixes, although the kaschid, kopi, and kaschana all mean the same thing. But maybe using one of those suffixes instead of one of the other ones could be making a suggestion. Or the word cha in a sentence could be making a suggestion. And pronouns. Okay, this is not really a pradamsha, but they're being listed in the list of them. A pronoun as a substitute for a noun could be making a suggestion. But we're not talking about samasas here. Well, let's see what happens when we get to the example, if that fits that.
And,
yes, I think so. Yeah. And karma bhut adhikaranam. Ah. Now, adhikaranam is location. But remember, the location of an activity can be the location of the subject or of the object. So when we're talking about the location of the object, it can be suggesting something. That's a karaka that belongs to a word. It's not even a physical part. The meaning of the, you know, the karakas are indicated by the word. And avyayibhava, the fact of a word being undeclined can suggest something. Because many times you can use a word with a declined form, you can also make an adverb out of it. Choosing to use the adverb, the undeclined word, may be suggesting something. And then the karaka says, there are three kinds of rachana, style. Dirga madhyama madhya rikta samasata. According to whether the samasas are long or medium size or just absent. That are the three different kinds of style. And using one of those styles can be making a suggestion. And then varna, yes? Did I skip that? Okay, tata purvanipatascha. Okay, purvanipata is when in a compound you switch words around. And the word that shouldn't go in the front goes in the front. That can be suggesting something. Sometimes it's obligatory. And so it probably won't do much suggesting, but especially when it's an optional switching around of the order of the words in a compound, that may be suggesting something special. Or even when you choose to use a compound where it's obligatory, that may be suggesting something. You chose the compound, so it could be intentionally suggesting something. Those are the pradamshas. And then the three styles. Then you have different varnas, different kinds of varnas that may be suggesting. You have sweet varnas and hard varnas. I mean hard in the sense of suggesting hardness. They sound hard. Others sound sweet. We're going to talk about those, he says. They're actually going to be talked about in the seventh chapter about Shabda Alankars, about how different sounds, different phonemes make different suggestions. And it says Midu Katora Adi. So the Adi, the three kinds of suggestion made by word, by phonemes, is sweet, softness, hardness, or sweetness, and so on. Now he says he can only give examples of some of these. Sorry, he's not going to give examples of all of them. And we're going to wait till tomorrow. It's 12 o'clock. Not tomorrow, but Tuesday. Nope, not Tuesday. Let's see. Right, Monday, wait, Tuesday I'm giving class. Monday, I don't know. I'll see if I can give Kavi class on Monday, maybe. Okay, if I have it in me, if I can do it, I'll do it. I'll give Kavi tomorrow if I can. Okay. I'm leaving Tuesday right after Bhagavatam class. Sorry? I'm going to Delhi. I'll be back Thursday evening and I'll be here Friday. Okay. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.